Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right. Well, church family, we're going to dive into the Word of God here this morning. And so we're going to be in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at what God was doing, look at something that He transitioned from the garden into a new place to have encounters with His people, and now look at what He is doing through His bride even today. So we're going to dive into this today. There was two kind of neat situations that I saw as we were helping people in from the parking lot, and there were a couple parents that had their arms full of kids. And as I was helping you in, I forget, would you please remind me your first name?
Pam,
and had Daniel and Zane and Vivian. Is that right? Okay. Walking, three kids in a car seat and trying to hold an umbrella, and we were all coming in. And I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Daniel or Zane, found every water puddle along the way. And man, just fully boy. And as we're looking at him jumping out of the car, he just jumps out, lands, slides in the parking lot. I'm like, man, what an entrance. That was just cool. And then saw Brandon, and Brandon comes walking in, and he's by himself, and he's got kids, and he's got a car seat. And it was just so fun to see. And he's holding a car seat and a baby and an umbrella. Bro, that was impressive. I was waiting for maybe to start juggling them or, you know, something that was happening. But this whole pew of what's happening here with David and Katie and Kathy and Brandon and Sarah, God's doing something really neat. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is looking at the past of what God has done, looking at different things that He's transitioned in the storyline of Scripture. And it always moves that He could connect more with his family. And then after He makes these connections, then He equips these people to do the work of the ministry. And I can just see this pew not only coming as attendees or participants, but those that are actually leading in ministry. I'm not trying to freak anybody out. I'm just saying that God really likes your family, and that maybe God's up to something, and maybe God wants to do some really fun stuff. Also, Brandon, in our 45-second walk up to the church, you told me enough about you to let me know that I really like you. You're going pheasant hunting in South Dakota. Like, what the heck, man? Like, that's pretty cool. Kind of want to go on that trip. I'll just wait for the invite at some point in my life. What I'm going to talk about this morning, just want to give a little bit of credit to some of the sources. A few of the sources for where I'm polling is Aaron Vogel, who's a friend and a pastor, Lonnie Dyer, who's a friend and a pastor who works alongside with Focus on the Family, as well as Marty Solomon, who has a podcast that kind of speaks to some of these things that we're going to be diving into this morning as well. But we're going to be looking at from Exodus chapter 24 on in what God was doing in Moses as He was creating this thing called the tabernacle. The tabernacle, or another name might be the tent of meetings. It's a place where God was wanting to have these encounters with people. And so, as we dive into this scripture here this morning, I want you guys to go ahead and grab your Bibles and to jump into Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. If you've ever read the Bible, specifically this piece of Scripture, in the book of Exodus and as it moves into Leviticus, these are some tough texts to read because it's belaborsome. It's like explaining every detail of how the tabernacle ought to be. It's like, hey, it needs to be this many feet and this many centimeters, and it needs to be this many millimeters, and this is the how depth, in depth detail, the table of showbread, and this is where we want to have the Ten Commandments and the law, and it's going to have a picture of cherubim and angels on the outside, and this is how many feet we have to be away from it, and this is what the Holy of Holies looks like. And you're like, oh man, I realize why I don't read this section very often. It's kind of belaborsome to go through and to hear every detail of how God wants his house. Have you ever met like a brand new newlywed couple that want to tell you every little detail about their new home? And you're like, for crying out loud, I do not care how many times you went to IKEA to pick out that lamp shade. I do not care. But they're in it, man. They love it. And this is how we picked the carpet. Oh my gosh, we went over such detail. And we had all these color palettes, and we had to go over this. And then we picked the wall, the paint for the wall. And then here's how we did all the appliances. Let's go over all the appliances. And this is how many steps it was until we walked into the kitchen. And they just go over everything. And God is doing that with his new bride. As he takes her and he sweeps her out of bondage, he steals his damsel in distress, and he rescues her out of the hands of Egypt, and he takes her out into this long honeymoon, if you will, out into the wilderness just to be with his beloved. And he creates this home, and I want to go over every detail. And here's how I want our faucet to look. And here's the bedroom, how I want it set up. And it wasn't belaborsome for God to be having this conversation with his bride on how he wanted his home to look like with them. He was loving it. Do y'all remember when he first started telling the love story of this is how we met and we went to Custard's Last Stand? I didn't. It was closed 50 years by that time. But somebody probably did, and Zen Harvey married you, Dick Zabel did that, or not Zabel, Dick Hensley did that, and you guys, you know the whole story, and you went over painstakingly every detail, and this is how I proposed, and I got down on my knee, and oh my gosh, and the wind was blowing, it was about 7 mile an hour wind that day, and you go over every detail, but the farther you get away from that original romance, you can kind of sum up 50 years of marriage in a couple sentences. Can't you? Like, yeah, you know, it's been good, kinda. I mean, like, we've had 40 pretty good years of marriage. We've been married for 50, but we've had 40 pretty good years of marriage, and we can kind of sum it up quickly. And so the farther that we get away from the originality, we're just kind of disconnected from the passion of the intimacy. You're like, Brock, it's a little over the top, like, it's not that big of a deal, but it was obviously a big deal that God would painstakingly say, hey, just don't throw up an erector set house for me. This is every detail of how I want it. And so he goes over this ark of the, or over the tabernacle, or the tent of meetings. Right after Mount Sinai and that experience happened, and Moses is on the mountain, and he gets the Ten Commandments, and then we see the instructions of how to build this. It's almost like we get the instructions twice, because he's talking about how to build this. Moses goes up and gets the Ten Commandments and then comes back down the mountain, and everyone is like forsaking God and going after this golden calf. And God, Moses like breaks the Ten Commandments, and he goes back up, and he gets two more tablets, and he comes back, and God's like, where were we? Okay, this is where I want the carpet. And these are the right light fixtures and the doorknobs that I want. And he goes over it all again, explaining exactly how he wants his home set up. And through this process, we see that God is really wanting to build this first-time home with his bride. I want to dive into these scriptures here in Exodus chapter 25. And Skip Lewis, would you come down here and join me? We're going to read a few of these passages of Scripture here this morning. And Skip's going to come up here and join me. I hope that this is working. Is this on?
Hello.
It's not. Let's see if we can. Is it on? Yeah, I think You're live, man.
It's okay. On now.
So, Skip, let's look at Exodus 25, starting in verse 1.
The Lord said to Moses.
Huh? Pretty good, huh? The Lord said to Moses. That's the full verse right there. Okay, Skip, let's go to Exodus chapter 30, verse 11.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
Good. That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. Okay, let's go to Exodus 30, verse 17.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
Ooh, it's getting good. It's getting good. Let's go to Exodus chapter 30, verse 22, the entire thing.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
Anybody else getting what I'm getting? Man, this is getting good. Okay, now do the entire verse here. Exodus chapter 30, verse 34.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
Guys, we might do this for a long time. Are y'all ready? Exodus 31, verse 1.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
Yeah, okay, let's do one more. Exodus 31, verse 12.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
Right on. Good. Hey, let's give Skip. Come on, man. That was good. Thanks, brother. I think that God is talking a lot right here. And it not only is God talking, but he is saying things. And I don't know if you happened to catch how many times God said, but there were seven God saids. There's seven times that God is saying that he's about to create something. Is there another time in Scripture when God did something for seven times or for 7 days whenever he was creating something? Interesting. And there were all these God saids. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let the beasts of the field. And God said, let the birds of the air. And God said, let us make man in our own image. And God said for these seven times that he's going to make this tabernacle. I just can't help but wonder. I don't think that this would have been lost on the Jewish reader at the time as they're looking through and God is creating this tabernacle of how he wants to be with his people again, that it wouldn't have been an obvious throwback to them to say, this is the garden again, where God dwells amongst his people. This is the Garden of Eden, where we get to be with each other again. It's fascinating here at how many times he says this, and it's a throwback to the time when they were together, because after sin and the separation, they were taken off to Egypt and they were slaves. God comes in through a redeemer in Moses and rescues his bride and steals them away. And he says, let's do this thing again. Okay, I just want to be with you. And let's build, if we can, this garden. As if you remember, as I was talking about earlier, there's the table of showbread, and there's the Ark of the Covenant, and there's the lampstand, and there's Aaron's rod, and there's the Ten Commandments and the two tablets, and even some translations they call it the tree of life. The tree of life. Anybody remember what's put on the outside of the Garden of Eden? Whenever sin came and Adam and Eve exited, it was guarded with cherubim or angels of fire. And there's pictures of cherubim on the outside of the tabernacle. It wouldn't have been lost on the Jewish readers of the day. And then to go even further, let's compare a couple scriptures from this last one that Skip read, which is Exodus 31, starting in verse 12. And then we're going to look at the end of Genesis 1, as it moves into Genesis 2, and God's doing creation. And so, Blaine, I believe you got that one up there. Here's the scripture. Let's compare these two. It says, the Lord said to Moses, you must observe the Shabbats. In your scripture, it may say Sabbath, but Shabbats. Shabbats means rest. So you must observe rest. There will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. So that now that by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he was doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from his work of the creating that he had done. There's a nod back. And at the end of building the tabernacle, he says, now it's time to rest and to practice this Shabbat, where you come into peace and rest and enjoyment of the relationship with me. Let's go back to the garden where we could be together and we could enjoy, and I put a period on that thing and I just rested and I was with you. There is a lot of connection and symbolism here that is happening. From Genesis 1 and 2, in the garden, as it moves into the next book, which is Exodus, and we see that God wants to connect with his people again. It sounds familiar also with this passage from Exodus chapter 40, verse 3. It says, the Israelites had done all of the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that what they had done was just as the Lord commanded. So then Moses blessed them. A ton of parallels that are happening right here, and we can see what God is up to and what God is doing. Now look at Exodus chapter 33. Are you still with me? Hang with me here. Exodus chapter 33. If you haven't found Exodus yet, it's in the first about 5% of your Bible. Exodus is toward the beginning. You'll be able to flip through and be able to find Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, and now verse 14. It says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. We see here this callback to rest. We see this callback again to having this relationship with the Lord. So after Genesis, Exodus, we move into this book called Leviticus. If you haven't read Leviticus, I can't say that I don't blame you, but I would encourage you at the same time. It's kind of some belaborious reading, but Leviticus tells us all about what the priesthood should do and what priests should, what their role should look like. So can you flip with me just a few more pages to Leviticus chapter 9. Now we're about 8% into our Bible. I'm only guessing. I don't know. 8%-ish. Let's check this out. Leviticus chapter 9, starting in verse 23. It's up here on the screen for you as well. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and it consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy, and then they fell face down. Fire is coming out of the church. It burns up this sacrifice. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That is a flame coming flying out. And when people encountered this holy temple, their response was to fall face down in worship. Something had just happened in their presence. The book of Leviticus is like this big reveal of what God is going to do through the tabernacle, how God wants to have an encounter with people. It wasn't just, I'm falling face down because I'm freaking out, this is a little scary, I didn't know it was one of those kind of churches, oh my gosh, this is weird, and now I'm scared and I'm hiding. It was in awe and wonder. Oh my gosh, what kind of a God are we dealing with? And they hit the deck, and they fall face down. Are y'all still hanging with me? We see that it moves into another time from Moses into Solomon. And Solomon now builds a temple. Solomon builds what's called as Solomon's temple, but we see this as we move on through scripture yet again. And now Solomon, it's belaborsome to read the kind of wood and the acacia wood and how it needs to be outlined in gold and all of the detail of how God wants to have this temple set up. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I have it up here on the screen, we're probably more like about 20 20%, maybe 25% into your Bible by now. But here it is, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon finished praying, and this is in Solomon's temple, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings. Doesn't this sound like what we just experienced? It's like, hey, we're going to do this thing again. And here we're going to, it's a throwback to this thing again. And consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple. Let's remember this. Okay, there's some big time words I don't want us to forget. The glory filled the temple. Fire filled the temple. The Holy Spirit filled the temple. Fire was on top of the temple. Okay, let's remember all of these pictures and visuals. Fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple. They knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. They worshiped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good and His love endures forever. It repeats again, Leviticus. Leviticus is repeating again what's going on in Exodus. Exodus is a throwback again to what is going on in Genesis. Now, for the grand finale. Let's fast forward the tape now. Jesus comes. We have these encounters with Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, throughout the Gospels. And He says, I'm going, but I'm going to send you one who's going to be your great helper, your comforter. You're going to have this encounter, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, there's a group of people that are left in this upper room. And it says that the Holy Spirit descended on them with tongues of fire upon them. God talks about us. We are the new temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He says, this is the people that I want to fill my presence with. I want my glory to fill them. I want the Holy Spirit to come upon them. I want fire to sit upon them. And here's my question. In the Old Testament, when people saw the temple, they fell face down. When people saw the fire of God on the temple, their response was they were moved, they were shaken, they wanted to worship. They did something when they encountered people, the temple of fire and the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you today, when people encounter you, the New Testament temple, are you full of fire? And full of the Holy Spirit to where their response is they fall face down, not in worship to you, but they fall face down. They want to worship. They want to have an encounter with Jesus. Also this, when people come in encounter with you, God's temple, do they feel like they're in a life-giving garden relationship? Do they feel like they're walking with God? I was with a guy just on Friday, and he said, he was talking to me about his friend and his mentor. And he says, when you talk to this guy, he goes, I feel like I just had a conversation with Jesus. And I was like, oh, I want that. I want to be that, and I want to have encounters with that. Church family, I want to ask us, can we take off who we are all the way back to the garden where we walk with Him, where we know Him in the intimacy of His holy place, where we're like these Moses and Aarons and Solomons that we're not just constructing brick and mortar, but to where we become the housing and the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And when we live and walk and we walk out of this place, we're like a man on fire. And when people in the community engage and encounter with us, their response is, I want to worship. I feel like I just had an encounter with the God-man, Jesus Christ. What is on this person? There's something different about this person. I'll tell you, it's convicting to me because people can walk in front of brick and mortar and have a response, but whenever they see somebody who should be properly representing Jesus, maybe there's not the same response. And church family, I want to say, let's get back to the Holy of Holies. Let's get back into that garden where we know Him, where we walk with him. And when we walk out of there, we're like people that are saturated in the fire of God. Check out this picture here. Here's a couple pictures. And here's maybe a picture of what the garden could have looked like, right? And we moved from the garden and we moved into this temple, the fire of God coming and people surrounding, if you will, the church, and they're looking in on what God is doing. And God says it's not just about a garden and it's not just about brick and mortar. It then moves to this, and he goes, it's about people, where the fire comes and rests upon my people. And so, guys, this morning as we're singing these songs and we're worshiping, and like, God, would you rain down upon us and let your fire come and let your wind blow? We're asking, it seems like symbolic things, but we're asking for a move of God to come and fill our hearts. In our lives. I just want that. I just don't want to live one day for 90 years over and over and over. Just call it my life. I want a new day, and I want every day to be new. I want to walk into the grocery store like a man on fire. I want to walk into my job like a man that just has walked out of the presence of God. And people's response is like, oh my gosh, I just had an encounter with Jesus. I want to walk into my home and my kids, they get a brand new dad who is on fire for the Lord. I want to walk into whatever the setting is and people feel like I have encountered something else. I'm not just hanging out with Billy Bob, he's a good old boy. I feel like I was just with Jesus. Oh my gosh. And so church family, here's the appeal this morning. Let's be people that do this stuff in the Bible from Genesis 1 all the way to the end. And it is people who lived in the presence and walked with the fire of God on their lives. Not just happy that we had good church attendance or to even congratulate ourselves that we got out of bed when it was raining. Trust me, I wanted to stay in bed. Hey, good job. No. I want to know him. I want to have an encounter with him. And I want him all over my life. So when I walk out into this world, people are experiencing the gospel, the God-man, the Jesus Christ that he really, truly is. Last night, we were here for prayer and for worship, and we wanted the presence. We were going after the presence of God. And guys, it just shouldn't be just a month or a couple times a year. It needs to be a daily disciplined practice to live in the presence. And we walk out of here, our conversations look different, our behavior looks different, our responses to spouses look different, our responses to kids and grandkids look different, to coworkers. We're just covered in a grace, we're covered in a rest and a peace. We've lived in the Shabbat with the Lord. I just live rested in him. I live refreshed in him. I live fired up in him. The bride is not just weary and exhausted and worn out and scraggly and frizzy hair because it's raining. The bride is not like this bummer bride. The bride has been in the presence of her king, who's radiating and shining and not just full of all kinds of baggage and junk. No, she is running because she's healed and healthy and whole. She's been in the presence. She's walked with God. All right, let's do this. Let's become this. Let's go after this. I'm going to keep praying that our church would have a hunger for the presence and that we would live it out in the world. Church family, would you all stand with me this morning? We'll close in prayer. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you're calling us back to the garden and to your presence. I pray that we would live there. And Lord, I pray that you would put your fire of the Holy Spirit upon our lives again and mark us, that when people have encounters with us, that they would fall face down, they would change their lives, that they would have an encounter with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.